5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We are your source for common sense conservative values delivered by a mom. That is what I am. That is what I do. That is who I am, I should say. And we're seeing a lot of people out there, my friends, waking up. If there's somebody in your life who you think is coming in from the wilderness, they're coming back onto the plantation, if you will, and they see that things are going sideways, bring them along tomorrow. Grab them with you and let's sit down at the table and talk about what's going on in this country. Because I think we can agree on a lot of things. You don't have to be a conservative for this show to make sense to you. We tell the truth. And that's the way it goes. End of story. And if that appeals to you in a world of lies, of simulations, of propaganda, welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. It was my 39th birthday, 2009. And Joe and I had taken our sons to Disney. And we had gone through this elaborate scheme. We had rented the house a couple hours away from Orlando. We had taken the boys there to do some fishing, to maybe do some boating, to swim, to goof around, play on the beach. And unbeknownst to them, we were going to detour out of this home early. And we were going to surprise them and go to Disney World. We'd been there more than a dozen times, but it had been a little while. And this was the time that we had arrived. The kids were out of their minds excited. Oh my gosh, best ever. And we were going to go to this water park. And we're on the little tram, the bus from our hotel over to the water park when my phone started going bananas. And it was breaking news from our home city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on April 4th, 2009, that three Pittsburgh police officers had been killed in a terrible shooting. There was a domestic disturbance. Some guy deranged off his rocker. His mom had phoned. The police showed up. One of the officers was off duty. And he was heading home and didn't live far away. And he detoured to go assist. And he was one of the three officers shot and killed. And one of the officers, a young man named Paul Shulo, was a graduate of my husband's high school and the high school that my five sons have all gone to. And because of the proximity of Paul Shulo's family in my house, and certainly shared circles of people, over the last 15 years, I have seen his mother and father in various iterations at various events. There is something that dies in you when you suffer a traumatic loss. It's almost as though there's a sparkle that leaves your eye, as though every sense is dulled to a degree, so that food doesn't taste the same. And for a long time, nothing will bring you joy. And I can't imagine walking by his bedroom where he grew up, thinking of the last time he slept in that bed, the last photograph, and realizing that the last time you hugged him, you had no idea that that would be the final touch. There was a terrible shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina, yesterday. They'd killed 3 U.S. Marshals and a Charlotte Metropolitan Police officer. And that police officer looked to be about the age of Paul Shulo. He was just voted an honored police officer of the month. And those officers and marshals got called to a disturbance, to a call of a felon with a firearm. 4 killed. Joe Biden came out and called those men heroes, that they will not be forgotten. I don't think that that's the message that we need today. I think the message is the insanity has to stop. The anger, the despair. Can't blame it all on Joe Biden, the things that have happened these last 3 years, but it sure hasn't helped. The messaging is poor. The leadership is non-existent. The country is in tatters, so it feels. And if you feel that way, you're not alone. I look at the headlines this morning and the madness going on at Columbia University yesterday. When those students were told, pack your crap up and get off our lawn. You've disrupted us for the last time. It was a weak message. Wasn't followed up with a whole lot of strength either. And so a bunch of students and probably professional agitators hired on demand have created an insurrection. They've invaded one of the halls there on the campus of Columbia University, holding essentially a janitorial worker inside hostage. That is the definition of terror. Protest does not equal terror, and appeasement is never an option. And yet we are seeing the weak fruits of the labor of box checking and victims and nonsense degrees and stupid fields of study that don't move the needle, that allow crybaby kids to believe as though they have power, even though they've done nothing yet in the eyes of working America. So Joe Biden and his messaging about heroes, they will be remembered. No, the message should be the madness has to stop. We are a country of laws. We follow rules. The rules are taught at home. And they are taught with the word no. No, you will not. No, you cannot. And if you do, I pity the fool who tempts that. We are watching something whose ending is poor. And it is predictable. And it is exhausting. And it makes me angry because it is preventable. When we get back to the business of law and order and rules. I see these stories on my desktop as I also see some woman, an influencer on the OnlyFans website, who says the Biden administration paid her to speak positively about Democrats, to speak positively about Joe Biden, to influence whatever she has influence over. If you think you are not living in a faux reality, if you think that all of this isn't just staged and set up, precalculated, all of this stuff for a desired outcome, please awaken, snap from the slumber, get off of cruise control, and exit the path of the sheep. Because once you see, you'll never go back to it again, my friends. And America is snapping out of it. We got some audio sound bites on the program for you. The show's the, let's call them the establishment left, freaking out. New polling data to drop on you. And a huge case going to the Supreme Court thanks to Pennsylvania lawmakers. What? I've got all of it. And so much more next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So there we are at Disney at the water park, Splash Lagoon. My phone is going haywire. Three Pittsburgh police officers shot and killed. You can't do anything. I was totally impotent. There's no, who wants to go down a water slide at that part, at that point? And I sat down and I remember Joe looked at me and I was like, what's going on? Look, we got people who are crazy. It's bad enough. We have to navigate that. But we're creating a new generation of it. Every single day, another student graduates. It seems like we're dragging more and more people in this farcical world. And it's so mental illness, so prevalent in every aspect of our lives because nobody says, you know what? Puberty sucks. You know what? Feeling insecure sucks. Welcome to the party. Because everybody feels it. And the sooner you're comfortable being uncomfortable and you own it, and you're like, I don't have all the answers. I'm not the greatest thing in the world. I'm a work in progress, damn it. But I'm going to work hard. And I'm going to be the best me I can freaking be. That's what I want my kids to learn. I don't need them to learn about geology. I need them to learn about reality and this crap going on campuses. Supporting terrorist organizations who kill innocent people because they believe it's their God-given right. It's disgusting. And anybody who doesn't stand up against it is complicit. And I'm so tired of it. Aren't you tired of it? A legit insurrection at the campus of Columbia University. How is breaking windows and storming a hall any different than walking into the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. The only difference, we don't know if there were undercover feds on the campus of Columbia University. At this point, who would be surprised? It's unacceptable. And what are we watching? We're watching the fruits of the demonizing of an entire career. Law enforcement. All of these jerks who said the cops were racist. And they turned enough of them away. And then they demanded everybody get the stupid vaccine. And they turned more of them away. And then it was open season on cops. Throw rocks. Dump buckets of water on them. flip over their cruisers, light them on fire. Do you think any of those people paid the price? No, because we stopped disciplining jerks. This is what it gets. A society, a civil society, turns disobedient in a hurry. Stumbled upon this morning, and it's crazy. Breitbart.com polled just out 26, only 26%. One in four people polled believe Donald Trump will be convicted in this criminal trial. Three-fourths see this for what it is. Garbage. A fake drama. A miniseries. Except you can't get away from it. They stage everything. Kamala Harris, ladies and gentlemen, couldn't even shoot a public service announcement to create the illusion that she's not such a wretched woman. They had to pay actors, children, to sit in a room with her and to pretend to be engaged. What? I don't know about you guys. I just want real. Even if it hurts. Just tell me the truth. Let me deal with it. 26% believe Trump is going to be convicted. A survey, this is from The Economist and YouGov, asked respondents if they believe Trump will be convicted of a crime in the case which saw Alvin Bragg charging the former president with 34 felonies. 34 felonies, again, purposeful and strategic, normally would be one count. Each individual paperwork thing that Alvin Bragg could identify became a separate felony count so that maybe one of them would stick and Trump would be convicted. And everybody's like, what? This is the dumbest waste of our time ever. Across the board, just 26% said yes, they believe the former president will be convicted of a crime. Can you imagine what will happen in this country if that were to go down? One third of the respondents said he will not be convicted. 41% say they're not sure. 100% say they wish our government would freaking work for us. Did you guys see that the Biden campaign, in a desperate move, a Hail Mary pass, hoping somebody in the end zone is going to jump up, and, right? They dropped $25 million on targeted to black voters, pro-Biden campaign ads. $25 million. Because where I'm sitting from, in an honest, rules-following environment, you don't have to bribe people with student loan cancellation. You don't have to say, you know what? You people all like to smoke menthols, right? We're gonna tap the brakes on that menthol cigarette ban because that's going to move the needle. In Realville, you say what you're going to do, and then you go do it. And if you've been effective and you still want to do it because you still think you're talented and you've got something to offer, you run again. And you let the people decide. But every single step along the way has been molested, has been completely obliterated. And they want you to believe that this is just the new normal, my friends. Oh, hell no. I'm not going down without a fight, friends. 42% of the Democrat Party's most loyal voters are up for grabs. Who are they? And why is Biden freaking? Well, his handlers. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. When we say it's not complicated, I mean, life is complicated. Every single day that you raise your children, you juggle your job and other activities and schedules and whatnot, it's complicated. But in the bigger picture, it's really not. It's like driving on the highway. Everybody has to pay attention. Everybody has to know the rules. And yet, no matter where you go, what highway you choose, there's always some turkey in the left lane on cruise control who has never looked at their mirrors before, who's just sitting in there going 62 miles an hour. And they think that's fast enough and everybody else can just suck it. There is a flow. There is a dance. There is necessary cooperation. There are rules of behavior, standards, and they are taught at a very young age. But we started tweaking those rules. We started giving people special privileges, special outs, special excuses for their lack of achievement. And everything started to go haywire. This has been going on for years. You bring in cell phones, technology, instant gratification, and a woefully insecure citizenry. You've got all the recipes in a bubbling cauldron of suck. Because there's nobody saying, put down your phone and go experience the world. Figure out what your contribution to it will be. Because you are destined for greatness. No matter where you were born, who conceived you, how much money you have in your bank account, or the neighborhood in which you live, the only parameters or the only guardrails to your success come from you. Can you imagine if that is the message we teach our children in this country? In our schools, how much more magnificent this experience would be, how much smoother the traffic on the highway would go. But that's not the message that people are taught. It's okay now to blame somebody else, to blame a person, to blame a party, to blame an event. To blame history. I've never been much for excuses. I like people who identify challenges, are frustrated by roadblocks, and work doggedly to invent better mousetraps and to excel. I'm drawn to those people. And they're everywhere. We have a Biden administration that you and I, if you're conservative, if you're realistic, if you're common sense, you've known since it even happened, well before that, that 4 years of Barack Obama's third term were going to be tragic for this country. And you had to suck up your frustration and your worry, the view down the road that you saw back in 2020, and deal with this garbage in real time. And they have nothing to run on. They've done nothing beneficial. There is nothing I can think of that is better today than it was 3.5 years ago. People are more angry. We're involved in all of these foreign battles. Our government doesn't know a single measure they won't spend our money on without, of course, our approval. And we're watching this ridiculous display of childish ignorance on college campuses with faculty members joining in the fray. We need a factory reset. We need a giant finger to come in and push the button. And say, time to go back. We tried this on our own. It ain't working. Reset. This poll from the Wall Street Journal. Article from the Wall Street Journal. Very interesting. Here's your headline. Biden loses support among black men. Wall Street Journal poll finds. Now, we've talked at length about these trends of various voting blocs that are significant to the Democratic Party. Historically. We've talked about this shift in people that you would traditionally consider would be in a Republican tent versus a Democrat tent. And things are blurring. The Democrat Party now feels like it is a bunch of educated snobs who don't seem to have common sense, who are people who walk around with their eighth booster shot and still wear masks and have those stupid purple gloves on. That seems to be under the tent of the Democratic Party. The Republican Party is attracting other people. Black voters, Hispanic voters, young voters. Why? Well, let's read. President Biden faces a dual-natured challenge to shore up his support with Black Americans, one of the Democratic Party's most loyal constituencies. Perhaps the most urgent? More Black men said they plan to back Donald Trump this fall. This is according to a recent Wall Street Journal poll of seven swing states. While most Black men say they intend to support Biden, some 30% of them in this poll said they were either definitely or probably going to vote for the former Republican president. 30%? That is wow, right? There isn't comparable Wall Street Journal swing state polling from 2020, but Donald Trump received votes from 12% of Black men nationwide that year, as recorded by AP Votecast, which is a large poll of the electorate. So we're looking at the potential for that number to triple before we go to the polls on in November of this year. This is the interesting part, though. It's the Black women who have been less likely to break from the Democratic Party. Except there is a sign of that damn breaking. Black women are less likely than Black men to support Donald Trump. Yes, but some are exploring other options, including third parties and potentially staying home. Staying home, right? In a sign that Biden has not yet won commitments from many of these voters, some 42% of Black women in this survey by the Wall Street Journal fall into a group that the journal pollsters say is up for grabs in the election or still persuadable in their vote choice. These voters say they have not yet decided on a candidate. They might vote for an independent or a third party option, or may not go to the polls and show up at all. Now, say they do this 2020, and now, all right? In 2020, the share of Black voters who favored Biden over Trump, 87% in 2020. Now, it's down to 57%. Ladies and gentlemen, 30% drop in a key constituency, a key voting block? What? Black men. 12% voted for Trump in 2020. 30% say they're probably going to or definitely going to in 2024. How about Black women? 93% voted for Joe Biden in 2020. 77%, a drop of 16%, say they're going to vote for him this time. Meanwhile, the number of Black women who say they're thinking about Trump, 6% in 2020, it's almost double that at 11. How about Black college graduates? 91% of Black men said that they are voted for Joe Biden, 91%. 71% now. How about for Donald Trump? 8% in 2020, it's more than doubled to 18. And how about Black non-college graduates? This is the number. 91% in 2020 voted for Joe Biden. That number is down to 66%. He's lost 25% of non-college graduate Blacks. Donald Trump gobbled them up. 9% of non-college graduate black voters in 2020 for Trump? 21% now. This is giant. And for the Biden administration to think that a $25 million ad blitz in traditionally black communities and zip codes, which I think is as disgusting as putting Mark Zuckerberg's freaking ballot drop boxes in these predominantly Democrat black neighborhoods, smacks of the Democrat Party thinking it can do business as usual. But see, the black voters, they're not sheep. They're certainly not stupid. And they know they are not better off. And they're never better off when Democrats come in the 11th hour and promise the moon. Because once they're in, the Democrats vanish until they need them again to drop another multi-million dollar ad campaign. This is the biggest specific to black voters advertising campaign the Democrats have ever launched. Do you think it's going to move the needle? Is flashy advertising going to help you? Is paying social media influencers so that when you open up your phone and you look at TikTok or Twitter or anything else, you see people waxing poetic about how great it is to be a Democrat in America today when nobody feels that way? Just tell the truth. You have blown it. You have lied. You have cheated. You have stolen. Perhaps for the last time. The Republican Party tent, by the way, is actually the one that's open. And black voters are seeing the door. And it says, come on in. We believe in school choice. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. The sounds of panic. The old guard Democrats freaking out about all of this that I just mentioned. Feeling the heat much? Next. So the Republican Party has the rhinos. Those Republicans in name only. These are the uniparty swamp creatures of suck. People who like to pretend that they are something, which is farcical, which is, of course, not true. Only to then always disappoint and vote in ways in which we end up paying for their betrayal. Right? Well, there are old guard Democrats, too. These are the people who've been there for 1,000 years, just off the top of my head. Chuck Schumer, right? You can think of the Chuck Schumers of the world, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, the Jerry Nadlers. These people who contribute very little and make us so angry all the time. These people are panicking. The old guard. They're working feverishly with the rhinos. These are the people who, after a full day of work doing nothing important, spending our money, sucking, go out and hit the bars and maybe do a little cocaine and have sex. The thought of that is vile and I apologize, but, you know, it is what it is. I want you to hear some of these voices totally panicked because the old way of rigging the game, of rigging the common perception about what's really going on out there. It ain't working. Here's Nancy Pelosi. She wigs out on MSNBC's Katie Turr, who's asking her questions, legitimately questions, about Donald Trump vis-a-vis Joe Biden. And Nancy Pelosi realizes her goose is cooked, and she flaps her pterodactyl hands around and says this.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
Thank you.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't think that anybody can accuse me of that.
Holy mackerel. Did you hear that? Joe Biden created all these jobs while the economy opened back up after he assumed the Oval Office. That's not job creation. That's called the opening of the American economy. And it shut down under Donald Trump, and Katie Turr was right to say that. That was a global pandemic, Nancy. Well, if you want to be an apologist, I ain't going to do it. No, because you're a lying, feckless hack. And you have been for 50 years. Nighty-night, Nancy. Here's Nicole Wallace, also MSNBC, losing her mind. Look, if this is your source of news, MSNBC, no wonder everybody who's a liberal is walking around out there ticked off. Listen.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here.
Oh, God.
I might not be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or a free press. While our democracy didn't exactly fall apart immediately without it, the real threat looms larger. A candidate with outward disdain, not just for a free press, but for all of our freedoms and for the rule of law itself.
Look, mental illness is a bad color on everyone. And she's got the whole freaking Roy G. Biv going right now, okay? That's crazy. She's talking about the White House press dinner or whatever it was. Who cares? A bunch of elite college grad white liberal hacks hobnobbing, slapping each other on the back and getting further and further removed from the reality of Realville here in the United States. We can only hope, Nicole, that in 7 months you are gone. Though I will be sad to miss the fodder. Here's James Carville. He is deranged as well. I don't know if these guys get their Kool-Aid at the same depot, but they're mixing them in a similar fashion. Here he is freaking out, and we had to edit, Brock did, had to edit out an F word. I might be a little bit old-fashioned here, but when there is the likelihood of a recording device or the ability to be broadcast live, you don't swear. It's just the classy thing to do. Well, James Carville losing his ever-loving mind. Go.
If they get a hold, there will be no government left. There'll be no rights left. You'll live under theocracy. You'll end up Christian nationalism. But that's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
He's yelling at young Generation Z voters who are ditching the suck of the left. And like black women, are open for alternatives. Look, that's the way a change happens. Most people don't make a hard detour. You know, you're not taking a path and then go and abort that path. It takes a little while. It takes some browbeating. It takes some suffering. It takes your taxes going up. It takes your rights going away. It takes your children being failed in public schools. It takes your neighbors voting for lousy people who never stop with the bad decisions. You finally reach a point where you tap out. And isn't it phenomenal that we have young voters, James Carville, who are tapping out? It hasn't taken them a generation. It didn't take them 40 years. They see the writing on the wall. I will never achieve the American dream if I continue to be lied to by my government. The voices of panic. When you have to talk about your opponent instead of your success, instead of your own track record, instead of your dreams, your God-given gifts, your desire to work harder than everybody else to do something freaking good, when you haven't done it, you have to throw stones and create smoke screens. And that's what you just heard. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, government watchdogs say this is the most important election integrity lawsuit in the country. And it's fascinating. Up to the Supreme Court. I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.